right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show. I am Joe Danier, your host, and we get to do this on Saturday where we get to talk about some business stuff. I want to urge some of you that might be on the sidelines with ideas in your heads and give you some reasons to get out there and start practicing. I want to talk about some side hustles today because we talked to a lot of small business owners that sort of are in the process of nurturing one of their passions or something they know how to do, and they would like to replace some of maybe their income with stuff that they consider stuff they'd like doing on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, we go and do our grind work every day, and, you know, we'd like to fill in some of our spare time and maybe putting a little energy behind some of those, you know, passion projects of yours. So there's a process that, you know, that we go through to define, first of all, if, you know, what the side hustles are even in your purview. Like, how do you come up with stuff? How do the people who are making cornhole boards and setting up, you know, eBay companies, how do they figure that out? How do they get to that spot? There aren't many people that I don't sit down with on a daily basis that don't have some kind of idea that they think has, you know, the legs to get them to some kind of successes. And they could be big or small. Like, I honestly like smaller ideas better than even bigger ideas. So we've had some really high end, you know, lots of utility, but lots of, you know, liability and lots of resources, lots of money that would be necessary. Lots of technology and education would have to go into it. Those are big ones. But the smaller ones is when you can grab a sheet of paper and you can list out things that you can do. So you go through things that you've done maybe in the last year, and I installed a mailbox and I did landscaping, and I set up a website, and I did a recording, and I did all of these things that I can do, right? None of them I'm going to list down there that you know, I'm not going to say I did a website, but maybe I didn't do it well enough to do it professionally. That's not an entry. It's just a something that you have done. And if you did it, there was either a demand for it where you needed it to be done, or you liked doing it enough that you wanted to play with it. And that's all that's required for starting the list for your side hustles, is just capabilities, things that you probably could do. And, you know, you put it on the list, it doesn't mean anything other than you're organizing and counting the number of things that are on your radar of things you could do. There's some things like yard work that I'm not going to start a landscaping business. Because I did it because I, you know, it was really good for me. It got me out of the house. It was really, I could sit there and do my best thinking when I've got, you know, something ahead of me that's daunting. Like I have these, like most of us, I have this attention span that is so limited, right? I have to move on from thing to thing to thing because I do 1,000 things a day. I can't get hung up on spending 6 hours on one thing. So my brain has these microbursts of, am I able to process information in really small segments? Lots of them, though. Well, when you take a big project like, you know, landscaping, it takes days. So it's a slower pace. The, you know, the sort of like the what you can see out there on the return side is usually off the charts. But to keep my brain engaged on something that takes so much time to develop is a skill that I lack. So I'm not going to do landscaping professionally. I'm doing it as a practice for controlling my, you know, myself and my thoughts and my behaviors. That's not something that I would want to spend every day doing because I don't necessarily like it. Some of you don't like exercise. I don't really like exercise. I do it when I have to. I'm not going to start a business where 8 hours a day I have to run or, you know, do cardio or whatever, because I do it because it's healthy for me. But when, you know, it's not something that I want to do as a side hustle. But you are going to run across things. You're like, yeah, you know what? If I had to sit all day and record myself cracking dad jokes, I could probably do that. That gets written down on the list. Nobody's judging the merits of what you're writing down. Just something that when you speak it into the universe, that it calls you to attention. I love being able to open a sports bar or make cornhole boards or drive Uber or set up an eBay shop or do thrifting. Like, there's a million things that are you could do. And then even let your brain wander into places that, you know, hypothetically you'd love doing, even though that you haven't done it or experienced it yet. And you make these master lists of counting so that when you're feeling less inspired and less imaginative, you can go back to that list and some of those things will jump out at you. Sometimes you'll come across like extra money or extra time. And if you're like, man, I got this extra money, what do I want to invest it in? You go to your list, you're on, you know, your lineup list, and drill that extra money into one of the things that's on that list. If you don't, it's just going to get diluted into your life, and that extra money is going to do no good. It's not going to unearth some new thing for you. And same thing with time. Time being more valuable than money. If you had plans for something and it gets canceled and you have an hour to spend, you can either, one, let it dilute into your life and watch some Netflix and come out on the other end having invested none of it, or you go to your list and invest an hour trying to learn or develop or, you know, dive into one of those things off of that list. And that's the best advice that I could get for you, is that it's not necessarily that you're unimaginative or you would struggle to come up with an idea to do as a side hustle. You just haven't organized it. You haven't counted it. You haven't given yourself a chance to pour out some ideas out of your brain onto a piece of paper so that you could court them a little bit. And, you know, I have two cycles where I'm either in completely logical mode where I could churn out the task list and mindlessly do things. And it's my worst time for using the emotional side of my brain. I'm not going to come up with many ideas. I'm not going to be writing song lyrics. I'm not going to be inspired by sunsets. I'm just not in that mode. But when I do switch into that mode, I know what I should be doing. Imaginative, I need to be dreaming big and not get hung up on task list. And when I'm in logical mode, don't tell me about your day because I'm not going to care. It's just about me and churning off and getting through the grind. So I want to be programming on imaginative days and, you know, grinding on those more logical days. And so that's when you're picking that side hustle, the first thing is you're probably, if you're just picking what's fresh in your brain, it might not be the best idea that, you know, you're capable of. And that's why I say take a day to organize those thoughts so you can pull something off of the sidelines and start doing it. And because I'm such a method, I have a method approach on everything where I take everything that's on my list and regularly I dust it off and see if it's time for that idea to take flight. And I give them all a chance. And sometimes I take it down and I don't fall in love with it. That's another rule set here, is that if you have an idea to bring something to light and either you didn't have enough money to do it or you didn't feel right about it or it felt like it conflicted with the rest of the stuff going on in your life, take it off the, you know, on deck circle. Don't put it in the batter's box. You don't have to put it back on the shelf and pull another one down. And through regular cycles, you're going to condition your brain to constantly be courting options that you may, you know, want to throw out in the field of play. So that's what we get to do here on Saturday. So if anybody out there has any ideas that you want to pitch at me and ask any questions for, we there are themes usually during these shows where we pick out things that are that you are struggling with the most, the things that are stopping you from from going out and exercising that those prospects. We talk with a lot of entrepreneurs. Wednesdays we dedicate to inviting somebody who is looking to either start or scale their business to our conference table, and they walk me through their idea, their pitch. They explain what it is that they're trying to accomplish, what's getting in their way, why they're not already doing it, and there are definitely repeating themes amongst most people. Some of the most heartbreaking stories that we get are the you've done the business for 30 years and you don't want to do it anymore. You're getting tired and you've worked your tail off and you just want to sell it. And there's not a person that wants to buy it, nor are there people that want to stand in and run it. And then so you get these great brands that, you know, are decimated, especially in this area, the COVID area to now. We've seen a lot of exits from a lot of brands that have been around. It's awesome because it clears the way for the next generation of entrepreneurs, frees up some of the demand that could then fall on a new brand, a new name, and a new entrepreneur. But it's sad because that took lots of grit to establish those brands, and to let it just kind of like ride off into the sunset is kind of a sad proposition. It's a full, and these things aren't failing because the merit of their product. It's just, it's the succession or the planning the baton handoff to somebody else that allows these things to go the way they do. So if you have a business idea, I would much rather you try to pitch it at me and see if we can help the brand survive. And maybe we can have people within our operations take that baton and run. We've had, owners that didn't even want to really sell. They were just interested in making sure the business continued on, that the employees were taken care of, and they can retire. And so what's easy, if you get a good brand that's making revenue, it's pretty easy to accomplish all three of those things. You hand the company operations over to us. We make sure that it runs and runs well.
We get you, give you a cut of revenues for the remaining part of your life, and that's it. You get to retire and know that it's being managed well. So if there's anybody in the, out there in this situation that wants to do that, we have in mind a business over in Struthers, a restaurant that just made the news a couple days ago. We heard about the interest in selling this off, and we are, you know, right there waiting. If they, we'd really like the owner to get their asking price for the business. And so if they're able to do that, then awesome. Somebody buys the business and they're going to take it serious and they're going to run that business the way that it should. And owner gets a lump sum and gets to move on and go do their retirement the way that they're, they've pictured it. But if not, right, I'm going to be sitting there waiting and say, I'm ready to hold that baton and I'm ready to take on this endeavor. I have a guy internally that specializes in food services. I've stayed away from restaurant, like food services and bars, but part of my next era is going to be entertainment venues. And so what goes along with that is food services and alcohol. They are hand in hand. So we had to bring somebody in operations, Frank, to be able to, you know, who has extreme experience in those, you know, arenas. Somebody has to be in the driver's seat because, yes, I can do product and I could do marketing. I could do promotions. I can do the balance sheets. I could do all the business back end stuff. But someone who knows food has to be in charge when that is your main product. And, you know, I can, you know, I would not be able to put up, I would not be an A player in that. And I know Frank would be. So if anyone has any of those businesses, next week we have somebody showing up on Wednesday, but after, I think August is our first Wednesday slot. If anybody has something, be sure, give my office a call, leave word on the studio voicemail 330-259-7278. And throw your pitch out there and we'll get you scheduled and come talk to you, see if we can help you keep the business alive. And it's not only just ones that are struggling. It's also ones that need to grow up, but you need some expertise. Very few entrepreneurs wear enough hats to be able to do or know everything that's required to scale the business to, you know, its larger sizes. And that's where we come in. That's our, you know, that is our forte right there. So again, 330-259-7278. It's the same number you call for Youngstown Computer, but there's an option. I think it's option 3 for studio, and just leave your message there and I'll get you scheduled out. But this program all show long. If you have any questions, 330-729-9977. Text messaging is working today. So if you want to text message your questions to me, feel free. I will be here reading those text messages along the program today. Now, there are a couple of topics that I want to get into today that sort of like crowd or at least straddle the line between technology and business. So I'm going to give you the business strategy aside from the side hustle. I feel those are instrumental in getting a large segment of the population involved in some kind of business pursuit, because I think the next generation is that very few of the today's 20-year-olds are going to get a job, stay there for 40 years, and retire from a single place. I think it's more likely that they're going to feed their expertise into a computer, and the computer is going to shop the demand, people who are looking for that expertise, and lining up those people with the demand of the requests for those services. And so you might wake up to an email that tells you what you're going to be working on over the course of the next couple of weeks. And it might be in a different, you know, total industry every day that you wake up. But, you know, how awesome would that be that, you know, it would probably fetch a premium. You're probably going to make more money doing that than it would be if an employer had to seek out 40 hours worth of valuable things to occupy. The efficiency rate on how we do specialized jobs is incredibly terrible. We're wasting a majority of our lives working for 8-hour days when it could be compressed and made into smaller segments. Like, you know, the 3-hour work week, I mean, it's totally possible if those 3 hours don't feel like going to your job where it's, you know, 50% efficiency and we do a lot more talking than we do working. And, you know, we could compress that down into, you know, different jobs, and you don't get overly comfortable in, you know, the working for somebody. You get comfortable in selling the information that's in your head, selling the performance on the field, and then you get to fetch a premium because you're better at it. And it's, you know, people get to find the best in their field. I mean, think about, we talk about teachers and performance pay and athletes and performance pay. And I think that's just you know, the top end of what software and algorithms and technology can do for us. If you're really good at a specialty, think about how many customers don't even really know you exist. And so you're working for not necessarily the performance pay, but it just happened to be for a person that found you. And what's the likelihood, but the highest bidder is going to find you for your specialty and your ability. So that's two things. I think we waste considerable amount of time that is needless. And I think that we're probably working in a lot of the wrong fields just because we just don't have the capability of shopping enough people or places to put us in the best financial framework that we could possibly be in. And again, that's sorted into the technology show, and I'll bring that up a little bit during that program as well. But if you want to get in touch with me, 330-729-9977, you can call that line and ask any question you might have, or text me at 333-1570. You're listening to the Bottom Line Business Show on 570 WKBM. I'll be back.
At the push of a button, that thing you want, it's delivered tomorrow. Also at the push of a button, the news you want. Delivered now.
Finger on the button.
Push your news now button. Youngstown's 570 WKBN.
Make this the year you go to our iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com.
A weekend full of superstar performances,
never seen before collaboration,
and once-in-a-lifetime moments you'll have to see to believe.
Friday, September 23rd and Saturday the 24th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Our 2022 iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Buy your tickets now at AXS.com.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with a new way to enjoy our beautiful planet. Energy consumption is a primary contributor to a changing climate, producing around 27% of greenhouse gases in the United States. Save money and energy at home by turning off your computer completely before you go to bed. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
At Pella, it's all about quality.
My parents built their house with Pella windows, and we never had any issues with the windows. That was 50 years ago.
Pella customer Laura Dim.
So, of course, when I'm building my home, the first thought that came to mind was I have to have Pella windows because they last.
Get Pella for your home and take 40% off installation or enjoy no payments or interest for 24 months. Call 877-98-PELLA, PellaYoungstown.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show. I am Joe Daniel, your host. We talk about things that apply to entrepreneurs, you know, seasoned entrepreneurs, as well as people, those of you who are just getting started. We live in an area that is prime for entrepreneurship. Cost of living is low. So you can take more calculated risks in an area that allows you the malleability of being wrong a whole lot without having to, I mean, you live in an area where everything costs more, then every decision matters a little bit. So your wrong decisions cost more than it does in other areas. So we benefit from having access to transportation, all the utilities, all the space, manufacturing, retail, every advantage that you can imagine, that we have all the stuff that big markets do, but we have a low cost of, you know, of experimentation in this area. So that's why I want more of you as you're driving around today is just give yourself the credit to think about things that you could do as part of some kind of side hustle. And, you know, it's a lot because, you know, if you do not have a business mind, but you do have an idea, that's something you have to practice. Like you don't have an exercise mind, but the more you go to the gym, the more you get to develop how the exercise mind is formed. You're not supposed to know how, right? I told my son this morning that he played in a piano recital. And in my mind, I was able to roll back his first piano recital and compare it to this piano recital. Same dude, same capabilities, same mind. What's the difference between the music he was able to play today versus a couple years ago? And it was that he stayed in a practice for 3 years. His brain got used to trusting him. The practice started making his subconscious mind and his muscle memory and how he felt with the keys and the music and reading. And he was able to do the same thing, but with more speed and efficiency. That's really what it comes down to. Through that same practice over and over again, you train your brain how to get good at something. And I had him make me this promise that even after he goes to school and maybe he goes to college or maybe he goes to trade school, maybe he gets in his job, maybe he has a family, that he remembers what it was like to create new neural pathways and never stop doing that. Always get in and learn something. Always be willing to do something terrible for long enough before you get good. And always remember the piano recital as proof of concept that you can take something that you're terrible at and through repetition and practice become extremely well-versed at, and almost to the point where you could become a professional in your own timing, the more that you practice and the faster you get through the material, the faster you train your brain. If your brain gets used to having neural pathways, I learn every Saturday morning, and I've been doing this since I was 18 years old, probably even before that. So my brain almost expects me to get up, throw something at it that it's going to make me feel stupid for a short period of time. And it gives me some grace as to not feel stupid emotionally. It doesn't suppress anything. It just allows me to know that I'm always going to be in experimental mode for the rest of my life. So when I talk about physics and sciences, these are all little passions that take me down the thing. I wake up on a Saturday and I was like, well, I have to learn something. What's it going to be today? And my imagination says, here's something that you've been, tackling. And it doesn't matter how absurd, it doesn't have to be practical. I just am able to dive into it. And that's what you give your brain sort of creative control that you'll kind of pursue some of this. But one of the safety mechanisms that I have in developing the businesses that I do is that I develop everything in theory on paper before I give anything real world, freedoms. So I do all the math calculations. I know what I want to do. Now, when I put it on paper, it doesn't mean that it can't change, but I have to make it work on paper before I start putting stuff in practice. So if you were doing the stock market, if you use my principles of investing in the stock market, you know what the stock prices are. You could take a sheet of paper and pretend like you invested X amount of shares on this stock on this date. And then every day you can wake up and you can pretend that those stocks were really bought and then see how they would do. And if the goal is that, my goal is that I want to do 20% returns on my stock market portfolio, and here's my plan to do it, you can work it out on paper. And at the end of the term that you give yourself, you either did or you did not. So if I did on paper, I proved to myself the concept that I could make that work, and it was all pretend. So if I didn't, there's no downside. If it does, then the only downside would be is if I did that for real, then I would have that real money. But the protective mechanism is you're not going to do it for real, so you're not going to see the real results, but it's insulating you from maybe having a bad idea or two, and we don't want you to waste resources on bad ideas. So make it work on paper, and try to take some of your emotional connections with business and suppress them a little bit and make a balancing effect of more logical conclusions and tasks and whatever. And let me give you an example of what that means. And so logical is measurement, right? It is counting things. It is taking a category, a box, and putting things in it and knowing how many there are and knowing how many. So if you go to work for 8 hours and you bill for 75% of the 8 hours that you're there and your rate is $75 for 6 hours times 6 hours times $75, you have a calculation that was completely hypothetical, but you can add up that hypothetical and draw conclusions based. If I work 8 hours and I'm 75% efficient, those 6 hours will turn into productivity, and the productivity is billable at a rate of $75 per hour. So that day that I did that is a day that 75 times six equals this amount of money. And I go to pay my bills at the end of the month and I have 20 days worth of that money. Can I pay my bills? Can I do my marketing? Can I pay my employees? And on paper, I made this whole business work by just creating these little metrics that don't even exist. But if I follow those metrics, I have no choice but to realize the same math I put in the hypotheticals. All right, 330-729-9977, or you can text me at 333-1570. You're listening to The Bottom Line Business Show on 570 WKBM. I'll be back.
peoplebygovmint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-721-0288 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-721-0288. If you order now, you'll receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-721-0288 now to secure your new Morgan Silver Dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-721-0288.
A suspect has been indicted after investigators say a dog was dragged by a car on Youngstown's east side. It happened last month. Michelle Kelly faces a count of felony animal cruelty. 51-year-old Rocky Singh's in the Mahoney County Jail after police arrested him and charged him with sexual imposition. A 16-year-old girl says he grabbed her by the waist and kissed her. A Mahoney County grand jury decided not to indict a Youngstown man on manslaughter charges. Eddie Bryant Jr. had been accused of involvement in the death of Cordell Kennedy. Police in Liberty have charged a man that was shot in Liberty earlier this week. 29-year-old Andre Lofton is facing several charges accused of making a false police report. The state of Ohio has awarded the city of Youngstown a $6.9 million brownfield remediation grant to renovate 20 Federal Place. In total, five projects in Mahoney County were funded, and Trumbull County received four grants. And it's Ohio's annual free fishing weekend today and tomorrow. Ohio residents can experience any one of hundreds of public fishing locations, including Lake Erie and the Ohio River. From the Columbiana Cadillac Buick Chevrolet Newsroom, drivecolumbiana.com. I'm Dave Price.
We're a country of so many voices, yet some still struggle to be heard. Let your voice be heard. Voice be heard. News Radio 570, WKBN.
This weather update brought to you by Mazda Heating and Cooling, keeping you comfortable year-round.
We'll see mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day, and those highs will rise in the upper 60s to around 70. Tonight, cool, those temperatures dropping into the mid-40s, mostly clear outside, and then another nice day tomorrow with high temperatures around 70 degrees and mostly sunny skies. From the Storm Team 27 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Adam Clayton.
As a marketer, you want to reach everyone. Adults, teens, millennials. But it's not like these groups all hang out in the same place, right? Actually, wrong. They're all right here, listening to radio commercials just like this one. Radio ads connect with 93% of Americans every week. That's more than Google, more than Facebook, more than TV. In fact, radio reaches 20% more millennials than TV. Want more of the people you want to talk to all in one place? Visit iHeartAdvertising.com and get AM/FM working for you. That's iHeartAdvertising.com.
Parents, cross off life insurance from your to-do list today. With Fabric, getting quality term life insurance is easy, fast, all online, and affordable with policies less than $1 a day. You could be approved on the spot with no health exam and no risk. Cancel anytime. Don't put it off. Apply today at meetfabric.com/American. Meetfabric.com/American. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued by Vantis Life. Not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Keystone Vocational Services is hiring for full and part-time positions. All candidates must be legally blind and U.S. citizens. Keystone Vocational Services offers excellent pay, benefits, and training, plus relocation and transportation assistance to those in need. Visit KeystoneBlind.org, keyword employment, or text JOBS21 to 724-383-7660. Keystone Vocational Services, an equal opportunity employer.
One tap on the talkback mic inside the free iHeartRadio app could get you tickets to our legendary iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas this September 1st. Download the free iHeartRadio app. Second, open the iHeartRadio Music Festival station playing the artists from this year's iconic lineup. Third, tap the talkback mic and send us a message for who you're excited to see take the stage this year.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo.
You'll be entered to win tickets for both nights of our world-famous iHeartRadio Music Festival.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show. I couldn't remember the title there for a minute. We had just a blast doing radio this week.
We filled in for Dan, or I filled in for Dan yesterday and got to, you know, these traversing these different topics where I have an allowance to be able to talk about more social issues rather than technical issues and business issues. But I watch these sort of like overarching principles. And it's, you know, they connect no matter what we're dealing with. The product really doesn't matter. Like when we're selling something, we're selling inspiration, or we're selling ideas, or we're, you know, selling solutions, or whatever it is that we're selling. It's always following that same deal. But, you know, this show is great. I grew up watching, you know, the Saturday television on the trapper and fishing and this old house, and you know, it was the access to information because it was limited. I mean, it was harder, you know, you just couldn't go to YouTube when you needed to do something. So watching these guys go around trying to fix things around the house, I probably gained so much information. I couldn't fix anything around my house. And then you had when I discovered 570 and the Saturday shows, when they actually Saturday was the trapper, but all of these, the service guys on Saturday were there to share their expertise with the general public and giving a space to ask questions about your car or about some kind of home improvement project. And then I came along later when it comes to, you know, technology and now business. And I love that this station does that for the community. I think it really helps and it builds confidence and give someone an outlet to, you know, ask questions with someone who practices, who does this for a living. And it's just a great resource. I'm really happy to be included at this station and everything that they do. We really do have a gem that, you know, many other areas don't have. So 330-729-9977. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on the Bottom Line Business Show. How can I help you?
Yeah, listen, you make tons of sense. I mean, you really are. I just want to let the people know that. Listen what you're saying. Listen to them. I own my own business, and I went to school to learn a skill, engineering, and I worked in different types of engineering. And the thing was, is I kept on working for someone else, and there was always someone inhibiting my abilities or stopping my ideas or trying to take my ideas for their credit, right? So I thought to myself, you know, I'd rather be a captain of my own canoe than a mate on someone else's ship. So I decided to start my own business. And from then on, I've been the happiest I've ever been. So I tell people, find what you like, learn about it, improve on it, be patient, and build it little by little while you're working your job. That way you don't sacrifice your financial situation. How's that for you?
Absolutely. Now, how many years did it take you to go from deciding you're going to do it on yourself to completely replacing the financial sort of weight of what a regular job could do?
About 10 years.
10 years?
Yep.
Okay. And I'm so glad you stuck it out. It's those kind of stories like give hope to people that there's a way of doing this. So congratulations to you.
Listen, you know, when you talk about you should get paid based on, you know how you say prime wages and stuff?
Yeah.
Sure. I do mold testing, inspection, and remediation. So, and I've been doing this for a long time. So, you know, there's some people that think they know what they're doing, and there's other people that just go for the money. Me, I decided, hey, I want to help people, and the money will come. You know, always thinking about saving someone's life and making their lives better and their environment better. And then the money will come. And that's how I built this business on.
Beautiful, Dave. Thank you for checking in. I appreciate it. And good luck to you, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. 330-729-9977. Let's go to Vinny next. Vinny, you're on the Bottom Line Business Show. How can I help you?
Yes. How are you, my friend?
Good.
Very good. It's true. You make so much sense. You make something that might look a little difficult actually sound very simple. My wife and I, as well, we have our own cleaning business. We're located right in Trumbull County, and we've been in business going on 11 years now. And it's something that at first, you know, we really questioned. We didn't know. My wife was an ex-banker, and she just wanted to get out of the whole corporate crazy situation. And one day we just said, hey, let's open up our own cleaning service. And we did. And we're very thankful that we just took that little leap of faith, like you said. And like I said, you give great pointers, my friend.
Well, thank you. And how many years did it take you guys to completely replace your old occupations?
Well, here's the kicker. It kind of worked out okay because, you know, I still have a full-time job. I work in a steel industry. So we do the cleaning business as a second side job. And, you know, like I said, my wife was in the banking industry, and it didn't take long at all. You know, it's like anything else. You got to work at getting your clients. And, you know, it's not a big cleaning service, but it's just right for us. It's family owned, my wife and I and son. And, you know, it makes do for us.
Now, the resources that you guys use to kind of learn how to make a business, like who did you lean on in order to get that information?
That's a very good question. Now, my wife is the computer whiz behind the whole business. I'll just be honest with you. She did a lot of researching. We did a lot of kind of calling around. But for the most part, she just researched on her own how to officially do the right process to get licensed. You know, obviously, we need workman's comp insurance. We are fully insured. So like I said, I don't know if it was my wife's banking background, but she's a researcher. So she did a lot of that on her own, my friend. Yes.
Well, beautiful. Vinny, thank you so much for checking in. I love your story and good luck to you guys.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Vinny. And so these stories should embolden some of you that, you know, you see that your neighbors and other people in your community are breaking out and seeing opportunities to be able to do something that they can do well. And they can practice. And it's not something that you do have to convert to a 40-hour work week. You can segment off a period of time once a week and just sell your expertise, maybe something on the weekend, maybe something in one evening a week. And, you know, if you can prove it that you can get a customer and you can do it for a day, it's a little bit of security knowing that if you were to get fired tomorrow or your industry goes kaput or the economy tanks, that you could venture off on your own path and try to, you know, to get something going on your own. And where these last two callers suggested is it does take time and patience to put together. So I would always recommend to everyone to have a side hustle on, you know, do some moonlighting, something you like doing, you don't mind spending some extra time. And then if it ends up consuming the time that you would otherwise be working for someone else, so be it. Guess what happens when there's scarcity of labor? The cost, you know, the prices go up, right? And so you might find yourself when there's adequate competition, you can so go to your boss and say, hey, can I get a raise? Not because for some arbitrary, you know, fiction of I want a raise because I've been here a while. It's because, you know, hey, I got this competing thing on the side that's paying me a little bit more. And it's harder to justify coming in here 8 to 5 p.m. When over there, I could go make a little bit more money. So you don't have to use that as a threat, but it's definitely a chip. When your value goes up because it's self-defined, you will see that you are worth probably more than you're being paid. And that's what, you know, because we sacrifice so much of our day towards the pursuit of our profession, it's got to count. 8 hours, it's got to count. So if you can go do, if you were given the choice of doing 4 hours of dense work where you're just your specialty on your own, just doing 4 hours, do you think you can compete with a full 8 hour day that you went somewhere else? I bet you're going to be super close. Super close. So pricing wise, so when, you know, one of the first things that we come up with is how do we price our services when we're out on our own? Where do you come up with that figure? So when I started my computer business, I started, it was my own number, right? I took what my resources were, what I needed to make to justify waking up, and I had a percentage of growth and I had a percentage of revenue, and I came up with $35 an hour, right? And I maxed out with customers at $35 an hour. All right. So if you max out at $35 an hour, some would say that you're undervalued. But I was filling all of my budget responsibilities and I was at adequate price. The problem was that I couldn't take on any new customers. So a new customer would then be at a higher rate, the next guy, right? And then I would take maybe some of the higher costing and I would give them, you know, some customers are, you know, they take a little bit more time than others do. and so that they need to be a little bit pricier than other customers. And that's just personality. Sometimes you got to nurture those responsibility or those customers. Some are super easy and don't take a whole lot of time. Some of them are a little bit higher maintenance. And so that I gave the option of the $35 an hour customers an option to raise their rates in competition because there's someone willing to pay me, you know, $65 an hour and you're only paying me $35 an hour. So you can move up to where this person's willing and I'll keep them at bay and I'll just keep shopping. As more people were willing to pay me more money, I was raising my prices along. Now, sometimes I grandfathered certain customers in because I liked them and they were friends and they made it super easy. And so even though they were paying me less money than the new guy off of the street would be willing to pay me, money is not the only objective. Sometimes you keep people in your life because they pay you in things other than money. And some of those things, you know, have kept me just on the straight and narrow. It kept our business healthy and our culture healthy and our relationships healthy. So don't think that your price, like once you get beyond the fact that you're able to pay your bills and you're able to pay your employees and there's money left over at the end of the day, don't think that you need to keep pursuing a higher dollar figure. There's most times where I reinvest that dollar figure in satisfying some health in a different area. Maybe my marketing, like right now, my marketing is probably, our marketing has always been our strongest suit. We always had, you know, a queue of people who wanted to do business way higher than that we can actually ever take on. And then after COVID, people changed the way that they shopped and they got a little bit less aggressive about, you know, bringing new vendors in their life. And it got harder to attract new businesses and their businesses closing. So all of the conditions meant that our objective with our marketing was very passive. And you saw everybody and their brother get super aggressive with their marketing. And I don't know how consumers tolerate such aggressive tactics. It's obviously working, but we're not very good at playing that passive. We like to court you by telling you what we do on your terms when you're ready to deal with us. We keep it very quiet and, you know, we'll keep whispering at you that we do this. But it's up to you when you start saying, yes, I'm ready. And so it's a slower process where we're behind the extroverts who are really better at, you know, screaming people down than we are. The guys with the megaphones are the loudest and the prettiest and have the most glitter around them. They're you know, probably not doing bad right now. But the market will come back to us in the future. And, you know, we've just got to keep patient because just like the market comes to you sometimes the market also moves away from you at times. So if your pricing moves away, where let's just say tomorrow, everybody in the computer field drops their prices below us, or maybe they raise their prices ahead of us. The market's going to change always. And I have to know what I would do before those things happen and how it affects us and, you know, what moves that we have to make. But I'm super comfortable this sort of era of my business that I can give away a lot more of my resources to help other people get to my same spot. And I think that payment is that there's a whole lot of trust. There's people that in my industry that I would be super willing to help that I at one time would have considered a competitor, which if I gave them an advantage, then I would risk market share. And I don't feel that way anymore. And that's why I love this. There's so much less stresses in this era. It makes me feel like I want to help out a little bit more. Hopefully that's across in different industries as well. Culture kind of weaves us together anyhow. So thanks for those two phone calls. That was good to hear. Nice to hear that there are people out there, people doing it. This question comes up regularly, so I'll quickly answer this. Picking your business name. And, you know, you might laugh a little bit thinking that this is the easiest part, but there are companies that I have on my whiteboard that are still unnamed because I can't think of something. I'm not a clever namer, right? So Youngstown Computer, where I'm from and what I do, I make it so you don't have to figure out, like, I don't have to advertise what Youngstown Computer does. The title of the company, the name of the company, tells you pretty much what you need to know through that naming. But also, it's very bland, right? It's not clever. There's not a lot of imagination into Youngstown Computer, Youngstown Studio, Struthers Marketplace. You see this theme here? I'm real basic. I use my imaginative energy to concoct the stories that go along with it. Now, let's just say I changed the name of Youngstown Computer and I changed it to XYZ Company, right? Company, XYZ, I don't know what either of these things are. Now, the business owner would have to do stuff to educate the public to combine XYZ Company to repairing computers or selling computers, right? And it's just a different thing. If you're great storytellers and you don't want the company to tell the story, the drive-by public to tell the story, there's a ton of company names that don't mean what they say they mean, but you know what they mean because they did a good job at marketing what the name is equal to. So that's, if you go too clever, then you're going to have to spend more time and money explaining why that cleverness translates to what it is that you sell so they can figure it out. How many times have you drove by a business and you didn't stop there and you find out that they did it and there's no way you could have figured it out, right? So that's what I'm saying. Don't get overly clever unless you've got the ability to sell that story. But picking the name, again, keep it, I would keep it, and this is just me, but it's, I sit around a table and I list options and options and options until I run out of options. And that's how I pick my stuff. And especially, the newer stuff, I'm putting more thought into that, you know, department, because I feel like I'm invoking a little bit more imaginative, you know, energy from this era. It's not as logical. So I'm able to do that. But don't get too clever. That's my advice, is make it as straightforward so the name could sell, tells the consumer what it is that you do. If you painted the name on the outside of a building, people would show up looking for that thing. And you know, you're a storyteller. You get to let your name tell something about the story that you want to get to your customer. So whatever is most important to you. So thank you for that question. I appreciate it. And I wouldn't discount it too. I put adequate time and energy into figuring out perfect names. Read through history and try to pick up inspiration from the world around you and your community. Go on social media and ask ideas about what a cool company name would be. Do focus group. Ask people you care about, your friends and family. Anyway, 330-729-9977, or you can text me at 333-1570. You're listening to the Bottom Line Business Show on 570 WKBN. I'll be back.
Nike does him. His GPS asks him for directions.
Dan Rivers, Monday through Friday at 9, News Radio 570, WKBN.
Recently moved, gotten married, or had a baby? Have a new job but no health insurance? If you're looking for affordable health insurance, Get Covered Ohio can help. Some plans are as low as $10 per month. You can also qualify for free coverage through Medicaid. Make your free appointment by calling 833-628-4467 or visit getcoveredohio.org. Services are available in multiple languages. This message is supported by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, but does not necessarily represent the official views of the U.S. government. Sponsored by the Ohio Association of Food Banks, aired by OAB and the station.
Higher energy costs will have a big effect on heating and cooling your home. From natural gas, electric, oil, propane, costs are going way up. So how should you prepare? What options are available? I'll check in with Bob Dieter, Dieter Heating and Cooling, Tuesday at 6:30 for advice and options. Join us.
Hi, friends. In conjunction with the YSU Summer Festival of the Arts, Trinity United Methodist Church, 30 West Front Street in Youngstown, is asking you to join them for a patriotic themed day of music and tours. It's July 9th. The Youngstown Music Teacher Organization presents a musical recital at 11 o'clock and a concert sing-along at 1 o'clock. Again, it's July 9th at Trinity United Methodist Church. Hi, this is Dan Rivers. 570 WKBN would like to send you to the inaugural USFL Championship game Sunday, July 3rd at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. All you have to do to get a four-pack of tickets is register at our website, 570wkbn.com, and search contests. We'll pick a random winner daily. Contest ends July 24th. Winners must have the Ticketmaster app for ticket transfer.
iHeartRadio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Bottom Line Business Show. I am Joe Dania, your host, local entrepreneur, and big advocate for the city. I'd love to see us prosper and keep growing. It is incumbent on small business owners to be the majority of business that you see around our streets. So I want mom and pops everywhere. Yes, chains are fine. There's no problem with you supporting your Amazons of the world and Apples and big corporations, but you got to support the local guys and give, you know, this the true innovators, the true powerhouse and machine of our economy a shot. And let's not get lazy and consolidate all of our shopping. Support local restaurants and local retailers, even if it costs a little bit more, because in the end, it doesn't cost as much. right? The downside is when you get consolidation with corporations, the cost is short-term gain, long-term loss. When it's shopping local, you get short-term loss, long-term gain. So being patient is the, if you're able to suspend the emotional response of knowing that you paid 40 cents more on something or $4 more or $100 more on someone local, you have to suspend, right, that feeling that somehow that was the loss. But when you see your neighbors prospering and you see the jobs that get created here and you see that your children and grandchildren get jobs in this market instead of having to go outside, you get that investment in the local community that pays huge dividends. And so you get the opposite of that if you can't be patient and you can't reinvest in your community. And that's why so many like shop local. It's not a cliche. I want to break out of that cliche. You don't do it just so you can feel good about it. It's because you're investing in your community and the community is able to prosper. Your property values go up. The, you know, the average payrolls go up. New businesses sprout up. Manufacturing comes together. I mean, you get improvement and growth instead of retraction. And the story, since I've lived in this area, we went from huge steel growth to everything retraction. And we need to flip that. I do not identify as a shrinking community. I identify as a community that has all the elements for growth. It's just going to take a new narrative, like people, me getting behind the megaphone and saying, we can do that as long as we stop talking about retraction and assuming that because we can see it in our rearview mirror, that that's what's going to happen in the windshield. It's going to be what we decide it's going to be. And I'm willing to invest in small businesses, like invest by my purchasing, invest it with my investment dollars, supporting and naming and recognizing people who are lifting heavy objects, because those are the people that I want to get behind. All right, this question is about compliancy. Last caller said, hey, we opened this business and we did all of our research for compliancy. Compliancy, compliancy, compliancy. And every different types of industry has different compliances. And some of them are pretty intuitive. If you're in an industry that serves food, there's going to be some compliancy to make sure that you can do it safely. You're going to be inspections to make sure that it's clean, making sure that people that come shop there aren't going to get sick from consuming your product, right? If there's a restriction or there's some kind of agency that is making, rules to follow, then obviously you have to make sure that you're compliant with those rules. Secondly, there's going to be also taxing and financial compliances that you have to be apprised. Now, this is where the best money is always going to be spent on finding a professional that can help keep you compliant. And at first, one of our first compliancy companies was Hilbarth and King. They were one of the best accounting firms, huge allies to us. They're everywhere. They spend money locally. They were rock stars for us. And so we had lots of meetings with them about what we should be doing. And they kept us with the compass pointed the way that it should and things we didn't even know about. Cause I paid a lot of $10,000 penalties throughout because I was just stupid and I didn't know better. So I didn't do something. And they sent me a letter one day and say, hey, the last 10 years, you haven't done it. So we're going to fine you $1,000 per year. And here's $10,000 out the front door because of stupidity. Where if I just paid someone a couple $100 to make sure that I was following all the rules, I could have saved myself 10 grand. That is the best money that you could spend. Second is talk to your peers, people who are in the industry. Talk to your local, agencies that govern your food services versus service providers, whatever. Check with your insurance providers. And they're looking to keep you safe. So they're going to be aware of things when people go down the road of being unsafe, what was happening. So those three things and the strict researching of new things, even laws change all the time, got to make sure you're compliant. So thank you for that question. And that's my advice for this program. This show went incredibly fast. So I appreciate you listening out there, the callers that we had. This was a fun one. Next up, we're going to do the Youngstown Computer Show. I have some, kind of edgy stuff to talk about on that program and some of the continuations with some of the stuff we talked about on this one. So have a great Father's Day, all your fathers out there, and we'll be right back with the Youngstown Computer Show. This is 570 WKBN.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country, helping you to navigate the complex VA system free of charge. With new presumptions for Agent Orange exposure and other conditions, AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all of your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit AMVETS.org.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
From the Columbiana Cadillac Buick Chevrolet Studios. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now, number one for podcasting, 570 WKBN, Youngstown.
From ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Gas prices falling slightly to just under $5 a gallon nationally, but in states like California, drivers shelling out more than $6.40 a gallon. ABC Economics correspondent Deidre Bolden breaks down the contributing factors of the current price surge.
The wild card, right, was Russia invading Ukraine. Russia, as we know, a huge energy exporter. So that just tightened supplies globally. And even though the U.S. imports so very little from Russia, it still is a global market. That is part of the reason why we have seen prices go through the roof.
Summer travel demand also a factor. The oil industry failed to keep up production after the pandemic slowdown. A CDC advisory panel voting today and expected to endorse the FDA approval of emergency authorization of Moderna and Pfizer's COVID vaccine for children as young as 6 months. The CDC director expected to sign off. It puts vaccination on track to start as soon as Monday. The CDC's Dr. Kevin Chatham.
We do anticipate that the vaccination program is going to ramp up in the days and weeks that follow, with more and more doses and more appointments becoming available.
Three Americans who went to Ukraine to fight against the Russian invasion are missing. Two of them appeared on Russian state TV, showing the men being held captive.
The two held captive are thought to be the first Americans captured by Russian forces since the war in Ukraine began. Former U.S. NATO ambassador, retired Lieutenant General Douglas Lute, says getting them home will be difficult.
The State Department and others will attempt to do all they can to locate these individuals and eventually repatriate them. But of course, this takes place in the context of the very difficult diplomatic relations right now between us and Russia.
State TV said the two are being held by Russian-backed forces in the Donbas region. The whereabouts of the third missing American remain unknown. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
A Philadelphia firefighter died following a total building collapse early this morning. Six people were initially trapped. You're listening to ABC News.
A suspect has been indicted after investigators say a dog was dragged from a car on Youngstown's east side. It happened last month. Michelle Kelly is facing a count of felony animal cruelty. Humane agents say the dog was dragged by a vehicle going about 35 miles an hour for about 100 yards, then chained up in a backyard. A witness saw the incident and reported it. 51-year-old Rocky Singh is in the Mahoney County Jail after police arrested him this past Thursday and charged him with sexual imposition. It happened at the Quick Stop gas station on Center Road in Poland Township back on June 1st after a 16-year-old girl says he asked her to come into the back room of the store to talk, and she says he grabbed her by the waist and kissed her. A Mahoney County grand jury decided not to indict a Youngstown man on manslaughter charges. Eddie Bryant Jr. had been accused of involvement in the death of Cornell Kennedy a year ago on the city's north side. Members of the grand jury determined there was not enough evidence to try Bryant. Police in Liberty say they've charged a man who was shot in Liberty earlier this week. 29-year-old Andre Lofton is facing several charges accused of making a false police report. It happened in the 3300 block of Applegate Road Monday night after he told dispatchers he was shot in the leg in his car, but police say it was self-inflicted. The state of Ohio has awarded the city of Youngstown a $6.9 million brownfield remediation grant to renovate 20 Federal Place, also known as the former Strauss Building. In total, five projects in Mahoney County were funded, and Trumbull County received four grants, including $1.1 million to clean up the former Warren gasification plant and $1.7 million to clean up the GE plant site in Niles. And this is Ohio's annual free fishing weekend that provides all Ohio residents the chance to experience any one of hundreds of public fishing locations today and Sunday. Ohio residents can fish for free in any of Ohio's public waters, including those of Lake Erie and the Ohio River. All other fishing parking regulations, size limits, and bag limits apply. From the Power Chevrolet Buick GMC of Calcutta, Ohio Newsroom, I'm Dave Price.
News Radio 570 WKBN, Youngstown.
We'll see mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day, and those highs will rise in the upper 60s to around 70. Tonight, cool, those temperatures dropping into the mid-40s, mostly clear outside, and then another nice day tomorrow with high temperatures around 70 degrees and mostly sunny skies. From the Storm Team 27 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Adam Clayton.
All right, so you've heard me talk about how MyPillow products have changed my life. I fall asleep faster. I stay asleep longer. They've done it again now with their My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he took over 2 years to develop these slippers, ensuring that they were just not any ordinary slipper. Now, these slippers are made with a three-tier cushioning system, two layers of MyPillow foam, and a layer of impact gel to prevent any fatigue, and it could be worn all day, inside, outside, doesn't matter, made from high-quality leather suede. And trust me when I say they're extremely durable and comfortable. For a limited time, you're going to save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. Now, this blowout sale of the year won't last. Order now. This would be a great time to stock up for future gifts for family and friends. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Sean Hannity square, use the promo code Hannity to get this incredible limited-time offer. Now, the My Slippers come with a one-year warranty.